Welcome to Motivated to Lead podcast, helping you become a better leader. I'm your host, Mark Klingsheim.
Hi, everyone. Thanks again for joining us for our podcast this week. My name is Mark Klingsheim with SEMA Partners. Each week, we interview leaders and they share lessons learned from their careers. Our goal is to help you become a better leader. If you're new to our podcast, welcome. Encourage you to subscribe. We've had some great guests over the last few years. Encourage you to go back and listen to some of our previous episodes. This week, we're going to revisit a conversation that we had with John Hieronymus. John is the CEO of Origami Surgical. He is an accomplished medical device executive, and he has helped companies as they've grown. And he's going to share some things that he's learned in his career that I think will help you as you grow in your career in leadership. Looking forward to today's conversation with John. Well, I guess for our listeners, could you give just a little bit of your background, a little bit of your career story? It'd be great to hear.
Yeah, so I have about 25 years in the med tech space, and before that, coming right out of college, I jumped into sales immediately. And back in the day when you actually sold long distance service to businesses, that's where I got my start, and doing a ton of cold calling and knocking on doors, and that was my foray into sales, which then created a great opportunity for me where I joined a company called US Surgical. And I was there about 10 years. And those of you that know about US Surgical, essentially the best training in the industry. So for a young person like myself, just a few years out of college, it couldn't have been a better place to land and spend the next 10 years of my career in sales roles as well as some leadership roles, because just laid the foundation for success, throughout my career. So then I left there and then went to a company called Salient Surgical Technologies, which really had an incredible product in a great space, and became the VP of sales and marketing there, and which eventually led to an acquisition by Medtronic, and which was then we became the fastest growing division within Medtronic for a number of years. And I've worked for a number of smaller companies, private equity companies. I actually owned a small business at one point. So I definitely kind of fancy myself as somewhat of an entrepreneur that wants to try new things. And ultimately, all that has led to where I am today, which is the CEO of Origami Surgical, which has been a really incredible opportunity and experience so far.
Could you, and I love asking this question of executives, if you were able to spin back time and talk to a 22-year-old John and give him some advice, knowing what you know now, what advice would you give him?
The advice I would give is, your career is a marathon, not a sprint. Really enjoy the wins, enjoy the moments, be present and learn and be curious every opportunity you can get. Cause I think sometimes we, being competitive people that are driven, we're looking for that next thing and that next challenge, and which is good. And that's why we're all successful. But with that, I think it's important to just take it all in and really absorb the moments and the experience, because they will make you better as time goes on.
So as you look back to that first leadership position that you had, what were some of the things that you think it would have been helpful to know prior to moving from that individual contributor into a leadership role? Talk a little bit about that. What are some things that you wish you would have known?
Yeah, I will actually say it's interesting. The transition for me into the first leadership role was actually relatively smooth. And the reason I say that is because I was lucky enough to have a number of mentors that were in leadership roles that really helped guide me. And I was frankly so nervous and fear of failure going into that first leadership role. I was asking everybody for advice, and I really, really sought out as much advice as I could and as much support as I could. And I think one of the things I gained from that, which I would share with anybody out there when they're starting to build that first team, and really any team, is I really put a lot of thought into what do the most successful people in the company do and what makes them different. And that's what I wanted on my team. And then I crafted the right questions and the right things to look for. And so I think knowing that you you want to have a very clear idea of what you want before you start looking at the people and before you start looking at who the individuals are. So I think that's the advice I would give anybody new. And I think that's also the advice I would give myself now, because what happens though over time is you get less nervous as a leader in hiring. And then frankly, you might start taking some shortcuts. And so it's actually fascinating for me when I look back, some of the best hires I made were when I was a brand new manager.
Interesting. Yeah. So let me throw this question at you. So if you have two candidates that are equal as far as background, they're not going to have exactly the same background, but you see qualities in both that are, they're pretty equal. How do you determine of those two who you're going to hire?
Well, one, I'll say this, if the background is very similar, I mean, one of the things I will dig into is really some of the innate talents that they may or may not bring to the table. And so a couple of the ones that I really look for as a differentiating factor is creativity, entrepreneurialism, and then also ownership. You know, people that really own the problems. They don't, you know, if a product's on back order or it malfunctions or something gets delivered late, they take it upon themselves to fix the problem, and they really own that problem themselves. That to me is a big skill or big talent and that I'm looking for. The other thing I'll just say is taken from the book of Jack Welch, and I think it's from his book Winning. I read maybe 15, 20 years ago, is the four E's and the P, you know, which is energy, energize, edge, execute, and passion. And sometimes if I have two candidates and I'm really having trouble picking one over the other, I'll just compare them on those five characteristics. Cause Jack, that's what he used to hire people. It stands the test of time. So that's the other thing that I'll do if I'm really close to, you know, two different candidates and need to make a decision.
So as you kind of were looking at, I don't know if you've ever inherited a team of people, and sometimes you have to make hard decisions. Do you have the right people in the right spots? What's kind of your philosophy about somebody or advice you'd give somebody coming in that's not building a team, but inheriting a team, and how to figure out, you know, do you have the right people in the right spots?
I'd say the advice I would give, and again, we all learn this from our successes and probably more so from our mistakes, is that take your time to assess the team. And that could take, you know, that could vary in what that means depending on the business, whether it's, you know, months or several months or weeks, but take your time, really get to know the individuals, form your own opinions. You know, gather some data points from other people on the team, but really at the end of the day, you need to form your own opinions. And then also, again, think about the team. What do you want on your team, and what do you need on your team to achieve the goals that you are setting out to achieve for the next, you know, year, 2 years, whatever the, you know, significant time frame is. And then that'll help you look at the team and who's in place that that may or may not fit. And usually a lot of times it's just fit. It's not that somebody's not doing a great job or has a ton of talent. It's just maybe the fit piece. And that's a conversation you need to have. And then the other piece I'll add on top of that is just be transparent, even from day one, like, hey, here's what I'm looking for. Here are my expectations, as a leader. Here's what our team needs. Here's what we're going to try to achieve. You know, this may not be a great fit for everybody here, but let's figure it out and let's be transparent and talk about it.
So as a CEO who's been in this role for a few years, what do you wish you would have known sooner about that that particular position in a company?
I would say knowing time management. I hate to say it sounds so generic, but the reality is when you're the CEO of a small company, we're a small company. We have a handful of employees that we're doing some great things, but everybody wears multiple hats, and I wear just about every hat to some degree. Either I'm hands-on with it or I'm significantly involved with it, where it could be, you know, operations, quality and regulatory, supply chain, sales, raising money, managing the finances, you name it. And so It can be challenging when you're shifting gears on a daily basis, you know, every 30 minutes or every hour. And I think thinking more in times of, okay, maybe certain days you focus on this area of the business versus that area of the business. I think that in a really fast moving environment, I think it allows you just to slow down a little bit and put that energy and focus into it versus just trying to get as much done as you possibly can each day, which is kind of how I went into it initially. And I really needed to just kind of slow down and be much more, focused on where I'm spending my time and what I'm trying to achieve by doing that.
So any practical things that you use as far as tools and helping you manage that and all the different areas?
Yeah, I mean, it's a work in progress. I'll tell you that much, but I'll say what works for me and what's worked for me in the past is also scheduling those times. So if there's something that you need to do and you know it's going to take you 30 minutes and you know you need to either do it on your own or with, you know, two other people, just put it on your calendar, schedule it. Make sure you're scheduling it at a time that also makes sense. Like it's not, you're sitting, you know, you're not in an airport, you're gonna be distracted or something like that. I mean, unless it is something you can do when you're at the airport and could be distracted. But the point is put it on your calendar and then just have the discipline to stick to it. And then you can slowly move things, you know, off the list or progress, you know, strategic initiatives like you need to progress and work your calendar. I mean, plan things out, you know, the following weeks and months and you name it. But with that, again, small company, you also have to have a lot of flexibility. And so make sure you have some time built into your calendar that allows you to make adjustments on a daily, weekly basis as well.
So working with a board, any advice around that? I know it's always a new experience for somebody coming in who hasn't been in the CEO spot. What thoughts do you have around that as far as the best way to work with your board?
Well, I mean, first thing I'll say is I think any CEO with any board, no one wants the CEO to be more successful than other than themselves is the board. I mean, because at the end of the day, the CEO reports to the board and they have you in place for a reason. And there's challenges, there's opportunities that they want you to tackle. So they are there to help. I think the stance that I try to take is, I view them as essentially high paid consultants. They have a ton of experience, as most boards do, and they have very varied experiences as well. You may have someone that's an expert in commercial, you know, the commercial side of the business, somebody else who's a former CFO. So they all bring something to the table, and leveraging them and getting different perspectives. But at the end of the day, it's my decision. And it's the CEO's decision, and knowing as you're taking in these data points, you have to make the decision that makes sense for you because you'll be held accountable to it and you want to hold yourself accountable to it. So, and then be transparent throughout the process. Like if it's a large decision, bring people in and say, hey, this is what I've heard. This is what I'm learning. This is the way I'm thinking about it. Here's the next steps. Am I missing something? So I really try to leverage the board as if they're, you know, a high paid consultant like Accenture or McKinsey, or like I'm bringing somebody in and they're working for me. But I know they're going to give me some incredible advice along the way.
So there's a lot of talk about AI and how it's going to change as far as how we work, as well as just give me some thoughts around kind of as your CEO of a company. Talk a little bit about that, of what you see on the horizon and what a leader should be aware of as far as with AI.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like one, AI is just going to make a lot of things much more efficient and much easier. And I think it can be really leveraged, especially, again, we're a small company, but regardless, even if you're a multi-billion-dollar company, you're trying to drive as much efficiency as humanly possible. And AI is going to allow to do that. I mean, we've all experienced just where even, you know, people go into ChatGPT and it rewrites your email and it makes it sound much, much better than your first draft. So instead of agonizing over an email for a half hour, it knocks it out pretty quickly, makes it much more efficient. So as I'm building this business, because we're in a high growth commercial stage right now. And so we're we're, you know, on the horizon, we're going to hire new, you know, more people, fill more roles, but you have to start thinking about it, not in the traditional sense of, you know, you got to think about how can we do it going forward, not necessarily how we've done it in the past. And I think that's where AI plays a big role. I don't think anybody really knows the true impact. My guess is it's going to be a much bigger impact than even many of us can even imagine, but I think it's going to, you know, help us be much more efficient and move a lot faster and hopefully in the right directions as well.
So tell me just some of the books that you would recommend to other leaders that have had an impact on you. It sounds like you mentioned one with Jack Welch, Winning.
Yeah.
Any others that you would recommend to put on a leader's read list?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's interesting. That's a great book. I mean, and some of the books have been around quite a while, but I mean, Good to Great is a great book. Execution is a great book as well. I actually, interesting enough, I think there's some great books out there that may not be your traditional, you know, business books that I think you can get a lot of, gain a lot of knowledge and lessons and really expand your thinking. I mean, one, I would even say, which might sound crazy, that Matt Damon movie, The Martian. If you read the book, it's fantastic, but what it's all about is problem solving. I mean, the whole book is about, you know, an insurmountable problem, and he just keeps breaking it down and surviving. And I think in business, that can really translate. There's another great book called The Guns of August, which was written, I think, 30, 40 years ago about the beginning of World War I and how during the month of August, things can escalate. Or did escalate rapidly, and so I think there's a lot of lessons you can get from those and autobiographies that I like to read at this point in my career to just learn what other leaders are doing or have done.
Any favorite quotes that you like to refer to?
It's funny. Somebody asked me this the other day, and I thought about it. So you know, my favorite quote right now is if do you know Jocko Willink?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. Good. His quote, good. And if anybody hasn't seen it, I would, Google, there's like a 3-minute video where he explains what that means. But essentially, the people that worked for him said, you know, every time we bring you a problem, you just respond and say, good. And his point is like, you know, hey, the meeting canceled. Good. We have more time to prepare for it next time. You know, oh, I didn't get the deal. Good. We have more time to focus on other deals. I mean, it's a mindset, you know, more than just a quote, but, I live that, I breathe that. And I would encourage others to do the same.
So, outside of work, what do you do to recharge?
So I work a lot and so what I do to try to recharge, I try to stay healthy and I work out, a pretty good amount. But I'm pretty goal oriented. And so, I like a good challenge. So a colleague of mine and a friend of mine, we are, right now we're training, for a Spartan race and we're about 4 weeks out. So kind of excited about that. And at the end of the day, I, you know, just love hanging out with the family and doing that sort of stuff. But we now have, one in college and one that is, left college. So, seeing them when we can and traveling and seeing them is also incredible. And obviously the one in high school, we got to enjoy every moment we can while she's still here.
Okay. So tell me what's involved in a Spartan race. I guess I know about some of the marathons and that, but what's involved?
It's a series of obstacles and then there's running in between the obstacles. And so there's a 5K Spartan race, there's a 10K, there's even a half marathon Spartan race. I think we got a little bit over our skis and signed up for the 10K. So that's about 6 miles of running. Okay. But you're running between 25 obstacles and those obstacles, some are, you know, relatively easy and then some are, very, very challenging. And so, the more I think about it, because if somebody was like, why would you want to do that? And I started thinking about it, is one, it's a challenge, but two, it's almost like being a little kid again, because it's like monkey bars and rings and you're crawling on the ground under, you know, under pretty much like fake barbed wire, but you're doing that. There's, you have to get wet and, you know, dry, you know, dive under some stuff. And so It's gonna be a lot of fun. I did one before probably 8 or 9 years ago, and it was a heck of a challenge. So this one, at least I have a much better idea how to prepare for it, but it's going to be fun. But I always like to have some kind of fitness goal to shoot towards. And then it just helps drive my workouts and, you know, eating a little healthier and sleeping more and all the things that go into being healthy. Cause the body feeds the mind. And if your body is healthy, then, you know, better home life, better work life, better everything.
So when is that race? It's coming up shortly.
Yeah, I think it's first weekend in April. So
all right.
Yeah. Looking forward to it.
Yeah. Yeah. What parting advice would you give a newer up and coming leader?
I'm going to give a 2 pieces of advice, and it's funny. The first piece of advice I received, believe it or not, when I was in, I think, 9th grade in high school, where we had this gentleman speak to us, and he was like a senior vice president of a large company in St. Louis, where I grew up. And he said, when you embark on your career, do something different every 2 to 3 years until you're about 40 years old. Because you want to learn as much as you possibly can during that time. And then at that point, you start to figure out what is it that you really, really want to do, and then focus on that. I think that makes a lot of sense. And I've tried to live that throughout my career. And sometimes, by the way, you could be doing different things within the same role, but you're always gaining new skills. You're challenging yourself. And then the next piece of advice I would just say is have fun. You know, you're not going to have fun every day. There're going to be hard days. I mean, when you're having less fun, you know, less fun days than fun days, then, you know, that's a problem. You should probably look at making a change or shifting something. But just have fun with it, because I also think when you're having fun, people feed off you. If you're a leader, that's critical, that that they feel loose and excited and energetic throughout the day. And they'll feed off you a lot more than you realize. So if you're stressed out, they'll feel that stress. So just try to have fun and learn some new things along the way. And I think if you do that, then a lot of things will work out for themselves.
Well, great advice, and definitely appreciate you taking some time to talk to us. I know this is going to be helpful for those listening, and wish you the best in your company as you're helping them get to the next stage and growth, and wish you the best in your venture.
Well, Mark, thanks again. Appreciate it. It was a lot of fun.
Thank you for listening to the Motivated to Lead podcast. Please subscribe on iTunes. You can also see a video version of this interview at motivatedtolead.com. This podcast is brought to you by SEMA Partners, helping you find your next great leader.